Good evening. They didn't trust me to go in the baptismal pool. They were afraid I was going to fall and break something. Actually, I didn't trust me either. It's a tremendous privilege to be able to baptize your own children. I was able to baptize all four of mine. Such a privilege. And no, you don't have to be an ordained minister in order to baptize. Remember in the Bible, Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch? Philip was only an appointed deacon. Mr. Wirtz is an elected elder. You have a higher office than Philip in the Bible. How about that? So it was great. First time I ever saw baptism here from down there. Pretty nice. Very good. Well, we're going to talk about why we get baptized tonight. There are a number of reasons, and they're all biblical. So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege it was to see these young people make their testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to see them obey you and follow the Lord in believers' baptism as a testimony of their faith. I pray for these two young people, Elizabeth and Abigail, that you will bless them richly and help them from this day forward to desire to serve you with all their heart and soul and mind. And now as we consider this subject of water baptism in the Bible, give us understanding. And Lord, if there's anybody here that has not yet followed in that obedience, I pray that you might touch their hearts tonight, give them the desire to do so. Please guide us through this study, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a big difference between ordinances and sacraments. We must understand the difference between those two terms. Some people believe baptism is a sacrament. A sacrament is something man thinks he can do to obtain the grace of God. The grace he acquires in his mind through these activities is not merely enablement for victorious living, but it is the grace for salvation, adding to a believer's hope of being saved. Some people think they have to do something to earn the grace of God, and baptism is one of those things they think they can earn the grace of God through. But the Bible's clear. The grace of God is never granted by works. Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. If by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. That's a pretty profound statement. You can have both ways, works and grace at the same time. It's one or the other. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, of course, you know that passage. And verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we believe baptism is an ordinance. The term ordinance is not a synonym for sacrament. Ordinance offer nothing that helps you to get saved. I have the big word efficacious here. I thought I should define that. When performed, water baptism is merely a symbol of the real, a symbol of one's faith by which they are willingly obeying the Lord. If baptism is only an ordinance and it is only symbolic, then why do we do it? The obvious answer is that Jesus told us to. That's the simple answer. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 28 Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But there's also a theological reason. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, it's very important that we understand the intent of the word for. Let's say you saw a poster saying, Jesse James wanted for robbery. Well, somebody wanted to do a robbery, and they figured Jesse James was the good guy for it, so they put out a poster saying, we want Jesse James for the robbery. Would you come and do the robbery for us? No. Why did he want it? Why was he wanted for robbery? Because he had already committed the robbery. So when it says here, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, it's the same sense for the fact that you have already had your sins remitted. As a testimony to show the fact that it's already been completed. And that's the true sense of that verse of scripture. Interestingly, in the book of Acts, people were baptized only in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 2:38, Acts 8:16, Acts 10:48, and Acts 19:5. I think you have those verses listed in your notes. In each case, people were baptized in the book of Acts only in the name of Jesus. But Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason for baptizing in the name of all three members of the Godhead is because all three members are involved in our salvation. We know Jesus' part, Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in his blood. But what part does God the Father have? Well, in one sense, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14, as we have seen and do testify, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So that's part of what God the Father did. But the other part is Romans chapter 8 and verse 33. I'll have you turn there. Look at it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God, implication, the Father, that justifieth. Now, Jesus made justification possible. The Father does the justifying. And then there's 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 regarding the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. So once God the Father declares us to be just, the Holy Spirit cleanses us and sanctifies us, sets us apart unto himself. Now put all three together, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, obviously the Father. All three of them are right there. all three involved in our salvation. Now, I'm going to talk about this a little later. I'm going to jump over to Roman numeral 4 and letter B. Letter A. Again, Jesus told us to baptize in the names of all three members of the Godhead, but in fact, he didn't tell us to baptize in the names, plural. What does he say? In the name singular of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, that might explain why in the book of Acts it says they were only baptized in the name of Jesus. By implication, being baptized in the name of Jesus, you are being baptized in the name of all three, because the book of Colossians tells us in him was the fullness of the Godhead. And so the name is, the word name is singular. There's a clear affirmation in Matthew 28:19 that while there are three persons in the Godhead and each has a distinct name, they are all together only one God. So let's go back to Roman numeral 3 and talk about this word baptize or baptism. It actually comes in several forms, even in the Greek language. Corresponding Strong's numbers 907, 908, 909, 910, and 911. Several forms. And the word baptism in Scripture is not translated. It's transliterated. I think you have the Greek letters and the corresponding English letters there in your notes, don't you? Do you see that the English letters are exactly the same as the Greek letters? Which means they didn't translate it. Why didn't they translate it? They didn't translate it in 1611 because the doctrine of the church at the time was they baptized by pouring or sprinkling, not by immersion. And unfortunately for them, the word baptize means to immerse. So they were being theologically cautious. 909, baptismos, is used in Mark 7, 4 and Mark 7, 8. In each of those cases, it is translated washing. There's a sense of washing. Now, we've already established, keep in mind, already established that baptizing is purely symbolic. It's not efficacious. It doesn't give you any grace of God. So in the sense that baptism would have anything related to washing, it would symbolize the washing that we receive in our salvation. Washing by the blood of Christ, that would be symbolic of that. 9:11, bapto, is used in Luke 16 and John 13, 26. I want you to turn to John 13, verse 26. And it is translated dip, which is a synonym to immerse. John 13, 26, in the text of the context of the Last Supper, and the disciple, Jesus had informed the disciples that there was someone among them that was going to betray him, and they're all asking, "Who is it? Is it me?" etc. And Jesus said in verse 26, Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. The sop was a piece of bread, a doughy piece of bread, that and there was a sauce, and you would sort of roll the bread into a little ball and use your thumb to make an impression. And you would dip this into the sauce, and in that little impression your thumb made, it would pick up the sauce. It'd be like a little doughy cup. There are still some cultures today in which this very thing is done. Have any of you ever had Ethiopian food? One of the hottest foods on the planet. I mean, it is burning hot. But this is the way you eat it. When I was at the Ethiopian restaurant, they brought out the bread. The person that took me there said, now when they bring the bread, it's going to look like napkins. Sure enough, it's a round piece of bread. They had folded like a napkin, and they were stacked up in this little basket, just like napkins. But you take this soft dough, and you dipped it in the sauce, just like Jesus did with this. In order to get that sauce into that little cup, how far down into the sauce does the dough have to go? All the way. Dipped. Immerse. That's what the word means. To go fully into the water. Water baptism illustrates our being, therefore, placed into the body of Christ. Would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13? First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We're not poured into a body. Or the body's not poured onto us, which would have to be the equivalent if you use pouring. The body isn't sprinkled onto us. We are immersed into the body of Christ. And it's a spiritual experience. We have the same thing over in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. We were immersed spiritually into the death of Christ. And thus, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. When the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, immerses us into the body of Christ, we are immersed into the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, water baptism symbolizes all of this. When we put the person completely underwater, we are symbolizing our being placed into the body of Christ. But in his wisdom, obviously we can't leave people in the water. Though when we are immersed into the body of Christ, we never leave the body of Christ. The second symbol then is our association with the death, burial and resurrection with Jesus Christ. So when we symbolize being immersed into the body of Christ, we don't have to leave the person underwater. We can bring them back up in recognition of their association with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Roman numeral 4, letter C, we only get saved once, and therefore being dipped in water one time is enough as the symbol of our salvation. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath suffered for sins And Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. There are those who baptize three times, or dip three times, one time each in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And generally, when they do that, they baptize forward. They dip the person, instead of dipping them backwards into the water, they dip them forward into the water three times. However, what is the normal position of a body when you bury a body? What was the position of Jesus' body when he was buried? Was he laid on his stomach or laid on his back? We typically bury bodies face up. And through extensive research, it's been determined that face-down burials have always been used to humiliate and dishonor the dead. A body lying on its back would obviously be the opposite, a gesture of honor. In Romans chapter 6, you might still be there, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism. If our water baptism symbolizes our spiritual baptism and connects with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he was only buried once. We only get saved once. And he was buried on his back. It only makes sense that we dip one time backwards. So, we baptize with water because Jesus told us to do so. It illustrates how we're washed by the blood of Christ. We baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit because all three members of the Godhead has been part of our salvation. We baptize by immersion because that is the real meaning of the untranslated word baptize. And because water baptism illustrates our being immersed into the body of Christ. We baptize one time because Jesus said to baptize in the singular name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we only get saved once. And we baptize backward because that is the honorable position of burial. And water baptism illustrates our association or identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of these are excellent biblical reasons for why we baptize and how we do it. But all we really need to know is that Jesus told us to do it. So the bottom line of water baptism is simply a willingness to obey the Lord and participate in believers' baptism. By water baptism, as you notice every time we've had a baptism, including tonight, we ask those being baptized to give the testimony of their salvation because water baptism is basically a testimony. A testimony of our salvation and of our identification with Jesus Christ. And hopefully by that testimony, others will be encouraged to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. If you have never been baptized by immersion, I encourage you to consider it as a matter of obedience to your Savior. And that is why we get baptized. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these thoughts that you have given us in your word, the explanation for water baptism. I do pray, Lord, that if there is anyone here that has not yet been baptized, a true believer baptized by immersion, that they would consider following you in that matter of obedience. Again, I ask you to bless these two young people who were baptized tonight, encourage them, and bless their family, their parents in particular, as they see their children take this step of testifying of their faith in the Lord Jesus. And for their grandparents as well to be blessed by such an event. Thank you for guiding us through your word. Help us all to be willing to obey in all things. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.